RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. And for today's edition, we present you the news. News from across the country, today in history, highlight of the week, weekend review, followed by news in brief. And then it will be continued with Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and Listener's Mailbag. And listener, now stand by for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here's the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Trek Expo Indonesia will be opened soon. Indonesian students introduce batik in Egypt through Batik Festival. Japan interested in auto component factory in Indonesia. Now the news in detail. Supporting team leader of the Trade Expo Indonesia, TEI, Raharjo during a dialogue with RRI World Service in Jakarta on Saturday said that the Minister of Foreign Affairs will help coordinate potential buyers from various countries in the world, especially for prospective buyers who are representative of Indonesia in the country. Indonesian government through the Minister of Trade will host 30 Trade Expo Indonesia since 21st until 25th October 2015 at the Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran. The Minister of Trade is committed to maximizing the increase of trade by encouraging national export through international trade fairs and the largest fair in Indonesia, Trade Expo Indonesia, TEI 2015. Raharjo said the preparation of TEI has completed for 95% in 2015 and will be attended by 1,146 participants from 59 countries based on the latest data received by the committee on October 2, 2015, and it is likely to change until the opening of the TEI 2015.
Trade Expo yang akan diadakan dari tanggal 21 sampai 25 Oktober.
Trade Expo will be held from October 21st to 25th Jakarta International Expo Kemayoran. Actually, the preparation has been done since the beginning of this year by sending a letter to all representatives of Indonesia abroad to help coordinate the prospective buyers to be present within the Trade Expo. Today it is almost final preparation, so occupancy of the participants themselves is already 95%. Then the participants from abroad have reached 1,146 per October 2nd, followed by 59 countries and other preparations are ready. Besides, Raharjo said that the government will target revenue in 2015 TEI to amount to $1 billion. He hoped that the TEI 2015 will increase the quantity of Indonesian export for 300%, the number of tourist arrivals to Indonesia by 20 million people, and to increase the value of foreign investment in the country by 15%, as it has been instructed by the President Joko Widodo since inaugurated in October 2014. Indonesian students in Egypt are invited to socialize batik in the Egyptian community. The invitation was delivered by Function of Information, Social and Culture at the Embassy at the Republic of Indonesia in Egypt, Rashid Mahmudin, in the Panot Batik Festival and Patients of Health at the Auditorium of Wisma Nusantara Kira on Saturday. In his speech at the opening ceremony, Rashid said batik is the national identity of the Indonesian nation.
Mari kita semuanya,
let us all be proud to wear batik, and inshallah this is part of a cooperation between Indonesian Student Association, PPMI, and the embassy. We will promote batik in the middle of the Egyptian community, especially to increase and improve the image of Indonesia. Batik has a philosophy, so we must understand that batik is not only a piece of cloth, that looks to have motive and different colors, but it is more than a national identity. Meanwhile, President of Indonesian Student Association Abdul Ghafur Mahmudin in his speech said that the proposed batik festival and fashion show is to foster a sense of nationalism of Indonesian citizens in Egypt and to become a momentum to unite as a nation for the sake of Indonesia. Okaya Prefecture Governor Ryuta Ibaragi said the company in Japan's Okayama Prefecture is interested in the automotive component business in Indonesia. During his speech to the Indonesian Capital Investment Coordinating Board, PKPM, Governor Ibaragi, executive by Antara, said the automotive component company, which has supplied components for Mitsubishi cars, was interested in developing an auto component factory in Indonesia. There are 422 companies from Okayama Prefecture that had made investment outside Japan. Meanwhile, Okayama Prefecture Governor said that there is considerable interest among Japanese businessmen to conduct business in Indonesia. However, there are a number of concerns about the investment climate in Indonesia from investors from the Prefecture Okayama, including the problem of the country's unpredictable wage system. Ibaragi said that during his speech in Indonesia, he found Indonesians to be quite open to Japanese companies. Chief of the Public Relations Division at the Upstream Oil and Gas Regulatory Special Task Force, SKK Migas, Alan Biantaro, said all governors in Indonesia will be able to access oil and gas production report from their cellular phones starting next year. As quoted by Antara, he said that SKK Migas will give personal identification numbers, or PIN, to all the governors to enable them to keep themselves abreast of the developments in oil and gas production through their information system. He said during the October-December period that his site will make preparation for the technological application and familiarize the governors with the way the system operates. By January 2016, they would have been preferred to monitor oil and gas production. The decision to give the governor access to the SKK Migas information system is part of information related to transparency that the task force has been developing. The last item, the government is planning to build 4 gas-fired power plants, PLTMG, with a combined capacity of 95 MW in Southeast Sulawesi province as part of the ongoing efforts to address power shortage in Indonesia. Spokesman for the South Sulawesi Provincial Energy and Mineral Resource Office, Andi Asis, said that PLTMG will be built in 4 different places or municipalities in the Southeast Sulawesi. As quoted by Antara, said that the power plants will be built in Kendari Municipality, Bau-Bau Municipality, Bombana District, and North Kolaka District. The PLTGM in Kendari will have a capacity of 50 MW, that is in Bau-Bau, 30 MW, Bombana 10 MW, and Kolaka Utara 5 MW. He further explained the construction of PLTGM in Bombana will be started this year and in the 3 other places in 2016. The PLTGM will also supply electrical power to neighboring districts. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener of Edari World Service Voice of Indonesia, welcome back with me, Rahma, in our weekly segment News from Across the Country, which presents you various interesting events from across the country during the week. Listener, the first news comes from Yogyakarta. Regional Daily Council of Yogyakarta 45 Fighting Culture Successor Agency proposed invasion in Kota Baru, Yogyakarta, which happened on October 7, 1945, can be commemorated nationally. Coordinator of 45 Regional Daily Council for Fighting Values Promotion Division said at Kusuma Negara Hero Cemetery in Yogyakarta last Tuesday, the proposal has been proposed verbally and will be followed up with other requirements. According to him, the commemoration is a lesson for the Indonesian young generation about Kota Baru invasion, which was launched by fighters from Yogyakarta to Japanese soldiers who still stayed in Yogyakarta and wave the Japanese flag. In fact, Indonesia has declared independence. The attack left 21 fighters dead, the names of the fighters then become the names of roads in Kota Baru and its surrounding areas. The names are Faridan M. Noto, Idewa Nyoman Oka, and Atmo Sukarto. Meanwhile, 27 Japanese soldiers died and around 360 soldiers went in jail in Wirogunan, Yogyakarta. Still from Yogyakarta, Yogyakarta City Administration launched Domapan Tour Bus, which is expected to boost tourism sector in the city. Yogyakarta Mayor Haryadi Suyuti stated last Monday, the bus also becomes a gift for the 259th anniversary of Yogyakarta. Domapan, which stands for 258 or 258, is a tour bus that is supported by Telkomsel telecommunication operator. This bus was initiated last year when Yogyakarta turned 258 years old. Domapan, which also means Podomapan or settle together, is expected to spread the spirit among people to develop tourism in Yogyakarta. The open double-decker of Domapan can accommodate 30 passengers. It departs from Taman Pintar and then surrounds Keraton Palace Fortress of Yogyakarta. The last news comes from Kepulauan Seribu, Jakarta. At least travel agents from Poland, Finland, and Estonia were invited to travel to some resort islands in Kepulauan Seribu, like Sepa Island and Putri Island, last Wednesday and Thursday. Their coming were assisted by the Indonesian Embassy in Poland. Head of Kepulauan Seribu Tourism Service, Irfal Gucci, said, to boost resort island tourism, Secretary of Kepulauan Seribu Regency Ismer Harahap revealed Jakarta provincial government will start to build power network in some resort islands and increase boat transportation service to Kepulauan Seribu. Representative of travel agents from Finland, Tero Juhani Norvio, as quoted by Kompas Daily, said, Kepulauan Seribu has natural tourism potential, and it may become a place to rest from the hustle and bustle of the city. In his opinion, it will be more attractive if tourism facilities in Kepulauan Seribu are increased to fulfill the needs of the executive like golf field. Well, listener, that ends news from across the country from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Rahma. Thanks for listening.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello there, this is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. And we'll start with 1968, Apollo program. NASA launches Apollo 7, the first successful manned Apollo mission, with astronauts Wally Schirra, Don F. Isel, and Walter Cunningham aboard. Apollo 7 was a 1968 human spaceflight mission carried out by the United States of America, and it was the first mission in the Apollo program to carry a crew into space. It was also the first U.S. space flight to carry astronauts since the flight of Gemini 12 in November 1966. The AS-204 mission, also known as Apollo 1, was intended to be the first manned flight of the Apollo program scheduled to launch in February 1967. However, a fire in the cabin during a January 1967 test killed the crew. Manned flights were then suspended for 19 months while the cause of the accident was investigated, and improvements were made to the spacecraft and safety procedures. Apollo 7 essentially fulfilled Apollo 1's mission. It was successfully launched on October 11, 1968 from what was then known as Cape Kennedy Air Force Station, Florida. Despite tension between the crew and ground controllers, the mission was a complete technical success, giving NASA the confidence to launch Apollo 8 around the moon 2 months later. However, the flight would prove to be the last NASA space flight for all of its 3 crew members when it splashed down in the Atlantic Ocean on October 22, 1968. It was also the final manned launch from Cape Kennedy Air Force Station. Next is not so far way back, only October 11, 2012, yes, 3 years ago, the inaugural International Day of the Girl Child. International Day of the Girl Child is an international observance day declared by the United Nations. It is also called the Day of the Girl and the International Day of the Girl. October 11, 2012 was the first Day of the Girl. The observation supports more opportunity for girls and increases awareness of gender inequality faced by girls worldwide. Based upon their gender, this inequality includes areas such as right to education or access to education, nutrition, legal rights, medical care, and protection from discrimination, violence against women, and unfree child marriage. International Day of the Girl Child was formally proposed as a resolution by Canada in the United Nations General Assembly. Rona Ambrose, Canada's Minister for the Status of Women, sponsored this resolution. A delegation of women and girls made presentations in support of the initiative at the 55th United Nations Commission on the Status of Women. On December 19, 2011, the United Nations General Assembly voted to pass a resolution adopting October 11, 2012 as the inaugural International Day of the Girl Child. The resolution states that the Day of the Girl recognizes the empowerment of and investment in girls, which are critical for economic growth, the achievement of all Millennium Development Goals, including the eradication of poverty and extreme poverty, as well as the meaningful participation of girls in decisions that affect them, are key in breaking the cycle of discrimination and violence and in promoting and protecting the full and effective enjoyment of their human rights, and recognizing also that empowering girls requires their active participation in decision-making process, and the active support and engagement of their parents, legal guardians, families, and care providers, as well as boys and men and the wider community. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'm Anna Trijayakasih.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
The Week Spotlight presents Top Issue of the Week.
Listener, this is Highlight of the Week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with me, Rahma. This week, we highlight the impact of forest fire in Riau Province and its surrounding areas. Listener, wherever you are, due to thick smoke in Riau, Sumatra Island, in the past few months, more than 52,000 people are sick. The data exclude people who carry out medical treatment by themselves. Riau Health Service has collected data from June 29 to October 5, 2015 in all regions in Riau. The people have acute respiratory infection or ISPA, pneumonia, asthma, eye disease, and skin disease. Coordinator of Media Center team at Riau Health Service, Rosita, said the data are collected from 13 regions and cities in Riau. The data include people who went to community health center or puskesmas and health post. According to Rosita, since Riau have been set to be smoke alert, the service has established 7 health posts and 1 evacuation post in Pekanbaru. Every day, at least 200 people in Pekanbaru carry out medical treatment in the 7 posts. They mostly complain about thick smoke. Due to smoke disaster, 18 babies are hospitalized because of smoke from forest fire and land fire in Kuantan Singingi Regency, Riau. According to the head of Health Issues Handling Division at Kuantan Singingi Health Service, Detri Elvira, Now the Regional General Hospital has taken care of tens of children and babies who are hit by land and forest fire impact. Meanwhile, Assistant 2 of Riau Province Regional Secretariat, Mas Perry, revealed last Wednesday that Riau Provincial Government has instructed regencies and cities to prepare evacuation posts, especially in districts with 24-hour free medical service. The head of Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics of Pekanbaru Station, Sugarin, stated in Pekanbaru that this year's smog disaster is the worst and the longest one in history. It causes visibility by 50 meters only. Sugarin explained that smog in Riau has happened for 3 months. It disappeared, but it comes again. Riau province also suffers from smog coming from the surrounding areas. Head of Information Data Center and Public Relations at the National Disaster Mitigation Agency, or BNPB, Sutopo Purwonugroho, said hotspots are mostly in plantation or industrial plant forests. The agency has deployed forces through the air and the land to put out fire around Ogan Komering Ilir, South Sumatra. Hotspots in Ogan Komering Ilir have not been gone for a month and its smoke thickly pollutes Jambi and Riau. The agency will force companies there to be responsible for building canal separators in their areas. In the meantime, Indonesia is willing to receive aid from other countries to solve smoke disaster. Spokesperson of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Nasir, said there are 5 countries which will cooperate with Indonesia, namely Australia, China, Malaysia, Russia, and Singapore. According to him, Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi has talked to foreign affairs ministers from Singapore, Australia, and Malaysia to discuss the cooperation. Listener, that ends highlight of the week from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, it's nice to be with you again in the program with interview presented by Rahmana. Jakarta Governor Basuki Cahayapurnama led the 70th Indonesian Armed Forces TNI anniversary at the Regional Military Command Jakarta headquarters on last Monday, October 5th. In his speech, which also emanated from President Joko Widodo, he wished TNI a happy anniversary. Governor Basuki also expressed his gratitude towards the anniversary, dubbed Bersama Rakyat, TNI Kuat, which means together with the people, TNI is strong. Besides being participated by Regional Military Command Major General Teddy Laksamana, Metro Jaya Police Department Chief Inspector General Tito Karnavian was also invited as a guest. Several regional head apparatus also attended the ceremony, including Regional Financial and Asset Management Agency head Heri Budi Hartono. Indonesian government is developing the Indonesian military TNI in accordance with the ability of the state budget. It was stated by the Indonesian ambassador to Egypt, Nur Faisi Subandi, in his speech during the open house of the 70th anniversary of Indonesian military TNI at the embassy Cairo, Egypt, on last Monday. According to Nur Faisi, the government has gradually built up the military by purchasing sophisticated equipment. According to Nur Faisi, the Indonesian military TNI plays its role as a balancing power in the middle of the conflict in Southeast Asia and in the Middle East. Nur Faisi added, amidst the unstable condition in the Middle East that continues until today, the Indonesian military TNI has played its role in driving and peacekeeping forces under United Nations flag. The number of Chinese population has made its aging people increasing. They come from the bottom, middle, and upper classes. A recent observer of the Indonesian Institute of Science, LIPI, Rita Pawestri, to the media on the last Wednesday afternoon after attending National Maritime Policy Optimization Seminar in Jakarta, said at LIPI building that Indonesia must make use of the increasing number of aging people in China to attract them to travel to Indonesia. Rita Pawestri also said that the cooperation between Indonesia and China in tourism continues to increase. It is proven around 900,000 tourists from China to have visited Indonesia. On the other hand, about 500,000 Indonesian citizens visit China annually. Hence, according to Rita, Indonesia should be able to attract tourists from China, especially with the increasing number of China's elderly to visit Indonesia. Taking starting point at the 50 Kota Regency and finishing at Payakumbu, Tour de Singkara successfully held the fifth stage on last Wednesday, October 7, 2015. With a total distance of 164 kilometers, this fifth stage was considered as one of the heavy roads for the cyclists. Even though small steel hampers most of the West Sumatra, the cyclists still continue the race. According to Payakumbu Mayor Rizal Falefi, on last Wednesday, October 7, 2015, in Payakumbu, West Sumatra, Tour de Singkara has encouraged Payakumbu to build tourism management bases professionally. Rizal Falefi added that he hoped Tour de Singkara will have a better quality in the upcoming years. That's why the Payakumbu City Administration plans to build hotels with an adequate capacity for the whole participants of the Tour de Singkara. Rizal stated that 10 billion rupiah will be able to start a plan to give the best facilities for Tour de Singkara event. Business license for scheduled commercial air transport of Aviastar Mandiri Airline was suspended because the airline did not qualify aircraft ownership in accordance with the regulation of Ministry of Transportation number 97/2015 about the instruction of implementation of aircraft ownership and control. Director General of the Air Transportation of Ministry of Transportation, Suprasetyo, said during a press conference in Jakarta. Aviator has two licenses, namely COAO schedule and non-schedule. Based on regulation of Ministry of Transportation, an airline which operates scheduled aircraft should own five aircraft and five rented aircraft. Meanwhile, an airline which operates non-schedule should own one aircraft and two rented aircraft. Suprasetyo added Aviator Airline has only nine aircraft and one rented aircraft for all permits, both schedule and non-schedule. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Arab countries like Egypt are suitable places for the doctors from Asian countries such as Indonesia if they want to do a program subspecialty of orthopedics, especially subspecialists called joint reconstruction or orthoplasty. It was said by an orthopedic specialist physician Yusuf Ahmad to correspondent of RRI in Cairo on last Wednesday. According to Yusuf, knee and hip problems are suffered by many people ethnic Arab. According to Yusuf, if Indonesian doctors want to gain experience in cases of hip and knee of the patients, the Arab countries and India are the right choice. Patients with knee and joint problems occur in many Arab countries and India because of overweight and genetic factors. If Indonesian doctors want to gain experience in the field of technology, they can go to Korea or United States. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs confirmed the kidnapping case of an Indonesian citizen who was born in Situbondo from Pamekasan, Madura, East Java, Suparto bin Rais Kuniran, that happened on the last September 18, 2015, carried out by the three unknown people in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Director for Protection of Indonesian Citizens and Indonesian Legal Entities at Minister of Foreign Affairs, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, at a press conference in Jakarta on last Tuesday, said the information about the kidnapping for the first time known for other Indonesian citizen Abdul Rahman and has received by the Embassy of the Republic of Indonesia in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Furthermore, Lalu Muhammad Iqbal said the Indonesian Embassy in Riyadh and the employer of Suprapto bin Rais Kuniran have reported the kidnapping incident to the police of Riyadh and immediately they did a search. Besides, according to Lalu Muhammad Iqbal, the Indonesian Embassy in Riyadh has appointed a legal consultant, a former member of the police in Riyadh, to search Suprapto bin Rais Kuniran. Nowadays, the Indonesian government is still waiting for the information from the police of Saudi Arabia relative to the motive and the legal action that will be given to the perpetrators of kidnapping. Suparto bin Rais Kuniran, an Indonesian citizen from Pamekasan, Madura, East Java, worked as a personnel driver before being kidnapped in the Esbilia exit 10 of Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi had a joint commission on bilateral cooperation JCBC meeting with Malaysian Minister of Foreign Affairs Datu Sri Anipa Aman in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia on October 9, 2015. The spokesperson of the Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, at the Minister of Foreign Affairs in Jakarta on last Tuesday said there were three main issues to be discussed by the Indonesian and Malaysian Foreign Affairs Ministers in Kuala Lumpur, namely the extension of visa for Indonesian citizens in Malaysia, the progress of Rohingya refugees, as well as the smartphone for respires. Armanata Kristiawan Nasir added, besides there are three main issues in a joint CBC meeting. The Indonesian and Malaysian Foreign Affairs Minister also discussed the border negotiation, migrant workers, trade and investment, recent education, empowerment, and reviewed various memorandum of understanding that has been implemented by both countries. According to Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, the Indonesian and Malaysian Foreign Affairs Minister particularly took the opportunity of JCBC meeting to discuss the acceleration of border negotiations that has been instructed by the Indonesian President Joko Widodo. After a JCBC meeting in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Indonesian Minister of Foreign Affairs will hold a bilateral meeting with Foreign Affairs Minister of Iran in Tehran on 14 until 15 October 2015 to discuss the trade issue, investment, people-to-people contact between the two countries. Prominent Egyptian businessman Muhammad Baraka declared his intention to invest in crude palm oil in Indonesia. The former chairman of Egypt Indonesian Business Council at the business gathering with the Egyptian business people, who will follow the Trade Expo Indonesia on 21st until 25th of October 2015 in Jakarta, said last Wednesday that he would begin to invest in the palm oil sector with the opening of 10,000 hectares of oil plantation plant in Indonesia. Muhammad Baraka asked the Egyptian business people who attended the event, business gathering toward the Trade Expo Indonesia at the Indonesian embassy in Cairo, Egypt, to immediately begin investing in Indonesia. Muhammad Baraka testified that during doing business in Indonesia, he has gained a huge advantage, so he asked Egyptian businessmen not to be afraid to invest in Indonesia. Indonesian Institute of Science LIPI keeps increasing its deterrent power of its radar system that can deter the state of force. Even it has been examined and now it has been set up in one of Indonesian warships. This was stated by Chairman of Research Management Rizal of Research Center for Electronics and Telecommunication of LIPI, Endan Ridwan, at the 11th National Sciences Congress at LIPI's building in Jakarta on last Thursday. Moreover, Endan Ridwan said that based on the plant, there will be three other Indonesian warships set up radar made in Indonesia to support the duty of securing the sovereignty of Indonesia. The implementation of ASEAN free market at the end of this year enables a country to easily sell goods and services to other countries in ASEAN region that creates competitive market. For that reason, students and Indonesian people in USA are given insight so that they can participate in it later. It will be presented on the Economic Seminar on next 7 November 2015. The seminar initiated by American Indonesian Student Union, PERMIAS, in New York, is to increase people's knowledge about economic development, law, and politics in the homeland. Mira Irawan, chairwoman of PERMIAS New York, explained information of home country is crucial to increase people contribution and to measure achievement of economic development and as discussion of economic growth by within a country. The seminar to be held in Indonesian Consulate New York will present Marie L. Kapangestu, former Indonesian Trade Minister for the period 2004-2011 and head of Indonesian Bank New York, Erwin Haryono. The last item, the world celebrates the World Mental Health Day on October 10 every year. This year, the World Federation for Mental Health sets the theme Dignity in Mental Health. In Indonesia, the team is adopted towards a dignified mental health services. Director of Mental Health at the Minister of Health, Eka Fiora, in a show meet the media on the 2015 National Mental Health Day set in Jakarta on last Friday, that the team was chosen as a rallying cry and a call to eliminate stigma, discrimination, and marginalization of people with physical problems, or DMG, and people with mental disorder, or DJ. G. Eka Piora added people with mental problems and people with mental disorders are susceptible to the problem of violence physically and emotionally, both in the community and in healthcare facilities. This is because of a lack of caring and lack of competent health workers as well as limited access to mental health services. Eka further said the rights of the people with mental problems and people with mental disorder are often neglected both socially and legally. Eka said that based on data from the Basic Health Research RISKESDA in 2013, the rate of severe mental disorders was by 0.70%, while the number of emotional disorders were 4.6% of the total population of Indonesia. While globally, the figure for severe mental disorder was 1.3% and 10% for emotional disorders. To commemorate the World Mental Health Day, the Minister of Health has been organizing a series of events since September 28 to October 11, such as Food and Creative Art Week of Mental Rehabilitation Hospital across Indonesia, Mental Projection Week, Mental Health Film Festival, while on October 11, which is the fifth of the plan of the World Mental Health Day, there will be the launching of Android applications for mental health free consultation, Muri breaking records for painting by most people with mental disorder, and etc. Listener, that's within review. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.co.id.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Supporting team leader of the Trade Expo Indonesia, TEI, Raharjo, during a dialogue with Aerial Service in Jakarta on Saturday, said that the Minister of Foreign Affairs will help coordinate potential buyers from various countries in the world, especially for the prospective buyers who are representative of Indonesia in the country. Indonesian students in Egypt are invited to socialize about it in the Egyptian community. The invitation was delivered by Function of Information, Social and Cultural at the Embassy of Republic of Indonesia in Egypt, Rashid Mahmudin, in the event of the Bati Festival and Fashion Show held at the Auditorium of Wisma Nusantara Cairo on Saturday. Okaya Prefecture Governor Ryuta Ibaragi said a company in Japan, Okayama Prefecture, is interested in the automated component business in Indonesia. During his visit to the Indonesian Capital Investment Coordinating Board, BKPN, Governor Ibaragi, escorted by Antara, said the automatic component company, which has supplied components for Mitsubishi cars, was interested in developing an auto component factory in Indonesia. Chief of the Public Relations Division of the Upstream Oil and Gas Regulatory Special Task Force, SKK Migas, Alan Biantaro, said all governors in Indonesia will be able to access oil and gas production report from their cellular phones starting next year. The government is planning to build 4 gas-fired power plants, PLTMG, with a combined capacity of 95 MW in Southeast Sulawesi Province as part of the ongoing efforts to address power shortage in Indonesia. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
You are still listening to English Bulletin Program from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Coming up next, we have Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, and Listener's Mailbag.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Indonesian Wonder, a special program introducing Indonesian tourism, including places of interest, culture and tradition, also Indonesian cuisine. Today, I will introduce Aras, a special culinary of Lombok, so stay tuned in RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this program via www.voi.co.id. Among the many kinds of culinary of Lombok, the most unique is sayur aras. It is unique because its main ingredients is derived from the inside of a young banana tree. Aras is a typical Sasak traditional food. Sasak is the tribe who live in Lombok. Initially, aras served only at a special event called Begawe or the feast after a wedding ceremony. It is usually cooked in large quantities using large pans. Many people say that a wedding is not complete if there is no aras. Aras has a unique background. According to the story, once upon a time in Lombok Island, people were experiencing a prolonged drought season. It was so bad that very few plants could grow. At the time, even many cattle or animals died of starvation. The only tree species that could survive in the middle of the drought was banana tree. Banana tree was then used as a substitute for grass, the food for the hungry cattle. It was then that a man named Lok Aras saw some cows hungrily eating banana trunks. From there came the idea to create a dish made of young banana trunk. Aras' mother then cut banana stem into pieces and mixed it with the seasoning she had in the kitchen. Once cooked and tasted, it turned out that the dish that was made from banana stem was no less delicious compared to other dishes. Since then, Lok Ara is considered as the inventor of this traditional cuisine. Aras is usually an option for those who cannot stand typical Lombok dishes, which are usually very hot and spicy. The dish is suitable for dinner or breakfast. Aras more delicious when it's eaten while still warm with a plate of white steamed rice. To prepare aras is actually not too complicated. At first, peel banana stem and leave a little of the inside. You must ensure that the banana tree trunk used is really young and does not yet have any flower. The section then is thinly sliced and sprinkled with salt, kneaded and washed thoroughly before being cooked. Spices used are similar to curry, such as coriander, cumin, ginger, garlic, shallot, nutmeg, and turmeric. The seasoning is cooked with banana stem that has been cut into pieces. Add salt and sugar to taste. Aras can also be added with some meat. For wedding ceremony, as mentioned before, aras is cooked using a giant pot. The cooking process usually takes approximately 1 hour. After aras is cooked, then it is transferred into smaller pots or plate to be more easily shared. Today, aras is not a special dish served in a wedding party only. It can be found in ordinary stalls served as the daily diet. Banana trunk is also rich in fiber, so it is safe for you who have problems with digestions. Well, that was Indonesian Wonder today, which introduced aras, Lombok typical cuisine. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Miscellany, a regular segment featuring various aspects of Indonesia, including art and culture, customs and tradition, technology and environment, even lifestyle. Today's edition will be about Makassar, which will host the Islamic Literature Festival 2015. So stay tuned in RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Besides via shortwave, you can also listen to this broadcast through www.voi.co.id. Makassar, South Sulawesi, has been named as the host of the National Islamic Literature Festival for the first time in Eastern Indonesia. The festival will be held on December the 8th until the 14th. Forum Lingkar Pena Makassar, as the organizer of this activity, has held a soft opening through seminars and workshops on authorship entitled Literature in the Development of Islam, Literature in the Development of Islam at the Islamic University Makassar, South Sulawesi. A number of literary figures such as bestseller novelist Habibur Rahman El Sirazi, Helvitiana Rosa, who is also the founder of Forum Lingkar Pena, and Edi Sutanto. And Edi Sutanto will be present. In addition, there are a variety of training activities in writing which will be held at the University of Hasanuddin and Makassar State University in November. This aims as an attempt to stimulate young people, especially school and university students, to learn to work in literary world. Edi Susanto of the organizing committee explained writers from Malaysia and Brunei Darussalam had confirmed their readiness to attend the National Islamic Literature Festival in Makassar, South Sulawesi from December the 8th to 14th. Aside from Brunei and Malaysia, more than 120 branches of Forum Lingkar Pena in Indonesia will also join the National Islamic Literature Festival. Forum Lingkar Pena is a writers' organization formed on February the 22nd, 1997 in Jakarta. It has hundreds of branches all over the country. Edi Susanto explained that the number of participants will continue to grow due to a number of writers who also plan to present their work at the Islamic Literature Festival. Meanwhile, South Sulawesi Deputy Governor Agus Narifin Nukmang expressed his appreciation to Forum Lingkar Pena for organizing seminars and workshops on authorship theme Literature in the Development of Islam. He hopes this activity can be a motivation for young writers in South Sulawesi to continue to hone their creativity in writing. He explained that today, especially in the Western countries, Islam is often associated with violence. Activities such as this will be a momentum to show the world the friendly, beautiful, and peaceful Islam. In response to Vice Governor Arifin Nukmang, Edi Susanto said he appreciates the support given by all parties, including the government of South Sulawesi province. He invites all parties to participate in and contribute to the success of this agenda. That was Miss Leni over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Makassar, host Islamic Literature Festival 2015. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Listener's Mailbag, a weekly segment in which your letters and emails are acknowledged. In this segment, we'll also play some Indonesian music. Well, listener, we would like to thank you, our dear listeners, wherever you are, who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Well, now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read an email sent by Bernd Seiser in Germany. He was listening to our broadcast in German language through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1800 hours to 1900 hours UTC on September 20, 2015. And the symbol was 24222. In his email, Bernd Seiser said that he did not hear our program clearly. Hello, Mr. Bernsizer. Thank you for your attention and appreciation on our broadcast. We have delivered your complaint to our technical division, and hopefully you can listen to our radio clearly now. Thank you. Well, Mr. Bernsizer, keep listening to our program and don't forget to send your reception report. Special for you and our regular listeners, we'll play a beautiful song.
Pas keresahan dirimu, oh, oh cantik, bukan ku ingin mengganggu, tapi apa arti merindu selalu, oh, oh, oh. Walau mentari terbit di utara.
Listeners, now we will reply an email from Munir KP in the United Arab Emirates. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz. In his email, Mr. Munir said that VOI broadcast was nice and good signal strength he received. Hello, Mr. Munir. Thank you for your email dated August 18, 2015. We thank you for the audio attachment of our broadcast sent that you sent, in which you heard it from your country. It is very clearly. Anyway, if you miss some segments of our program, especially your favorite ones, we suggest you to visit our website www.voi.co.id. And have you received our QSL card? Because we have sent the QSL card to your home some time ago. Well, Mr. Munir, special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Batas rindu jelas artinya surga, teduh aku dekatmu. Sampai nanti tak berbatas inginku, harap ingin takdirku untuk selalu denganmu. Sampai nanti jiwa ini untuk kan hanya sumpahku untuk selalu denganmu, oh diriku.
Listeners, now we continue to reply an email from Shivendu Paul in India. He was listening to our broadcast through frequency of 9525 kHz at 1300 hours to 1400 hours UTC, and the symbol was 43333. Hello, Mr. Shivendu Paul. Thank you very much for your compliment to our broadcast. Of course, your club will be included into our database fan club, so please keep listening to our broadcast and don't forget to send your reception report to our station. Mr. Shivendu Paul, we are looking forward to your next email. Thank you very much. And special for you and also your club member, we'll play a beautiful song. Let's check it out.
Oh, Semalam aku bermimpi bertemu dengan dirinya, ingin rasa untuk mengulang hangatnya cinta tadi malam. Sudah tahukah dia tentang diriku yang tak mungkin mencinta di saat tak tepat lagi? Yang kuragukan dia akan bertahan bila tahu diriku yang tak mungkin memiliki. Oh begini rasanya, tak boleh lagi jatuh cinta. Namun mengapa dirinya seolah memberi harapan? Sudah tahukah dia tentang diriku yang tak mungkin mencinta di saat tak tepat lagi? Yang kuragukan dia akan...
Well listener, unfortunately we have to sign off. We appreciate your reception reports on our broadcast. Please send your letters to Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. I repeat again, Voice of Indonesia English Service, PO Box 1157, Jakarta 10110, Indonesia. Or you can also send your email to info@voi.co.id, info@voi.co.id, or to english@voi.co.id, english@voi.co.id. Don't forget to visit and like our fan pages on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia and The Voice of Indonesia. Or you can also follow our Twitter at Voi Indonesia, at Voi Indonesia. You can also join our Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia. Well, listener, to conclude our segment, we will play another Indonesian beautiful song. I'm Ania Hasana. Thank you for listening. And we'll meet again next week in Listener's Mailbag. Bye-bye.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.